Blog Talk Radio.
Definitely, when you think about the fact that we already have had our first African-American president, I think this is really an era of progression in American politics, and we could set the stage for really set an example for the rest of the world. If we have our first African-American president and then immediately follow that with our first woman president, that would just be amazing.
I think it would be really interesting to have yet another legacy of, like, continuing the Clintons. Like, we've had multiple Bushes, like, having another Clinton, like, having just that continued legacy seems kind of weird. But, I mean, Hillary is an amazing woman. She's done so much. And the idea of having a woman as president is really exciting.
Cruise, where unfortunately we still have 959 days, 4 hours, 56 minutes, and 18 seconds left of this frickin' Obama nightmare. Then we gotta go to work. We gotta clean up the mess. But until then, we must remain dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom, regardless of that cost. Now, remember, shipmates, freedom ain't cheap, but we can afford it. It's tyranny that we cannot afford. You want to be a part of the program tonight? Don't be shy. 646-716-7978, or you can join the captain's chat room. Well, you know it as well as I do. As long as there's one stinking liberal on planet Earth, it is a very, very, very busy news day. Well, again, shipmates, today is absolutely no exception. So to combat that, we must lift our jib and get this freedom shipping away. We're officially underway and headed out to sea. Bosun mate, shift colors. Okay, before we get into the scuttlebutt of the day, this is just breaking. I just got it just moments before I came on the air. Seattle police are investigating a shooting at Otto Miller Hall on the Seattle Pacific University campus. Officials say they appear to be 7 victims with no fatalities. That's good. Police say they have one person in custody, but a second suspect has kept medics and police from getting to, well, everybody else that they have in there. They don't know if it's a hostage situation. They don't know. There's six people that are injured inside this hall. And one man has been taken into custody. He's got somebody else has got critical injuries, and they've taken him to the hospital. So the second suspect is described as a white male wearing long sleeve blue shirt with vertical stripes, and he's got a handgun. Well, the campus has been placed under lockdown. Students are being advised to stay off the campus. God almighty, here we go again. Get rid of the guns. Get rid of the guns. Get rid of the guns. I can see it coming now. It's not the gun. It is the will. If you have the will to kill, you will kill. Period. We need to start working on the will. If you don't have a gun, you think the killings are just going to stop? No. There's all kinds of ways to kill people. Well, I want to apologize for last night. I don't know what happened. Blog Talk Radio said that they fixed it. Blah, 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 blah. We've all heard that before a million times. I guess the sound was out. I tried to download it last night, and it wouldn't let me do it. And I had to go through back channels to finally do it, and I finally got it done this morning. Who knows? I don't know what happened. I don't know if we're on the air tonight. Hopefully we are. Hopefully people can hear us. But that's life in the big city, I guess. All right, let's get to the scuttlebutt of the day, because there's a lot to talk about here. Harry Reid has lost his damn fool mind. It's time for this guy to go. I mean, enough is enough with this guy. He's insane! According to Newsmax, Senate Majority Leader, which I hate saying that, Senate Majority Leader. First of all, this guy's not a leader. He's not a leader. He's a criminal. Well, Harry Reid says that he's happy that the five most dangerous men on planet Earth have been freed and sent to Qatar. Well, I'm glad that you're happy, Harry. He's quoted as saying Guantanamo has been there for far too long. Really? Wow. And I think that we should get them out of there as quickly as we can. Yep, just get rid of all these terrorists. Just let them go around the world. Let them commit their terror. Let them come to the United States and commit their terror. We don't have enough terror in this country. We need more of it. We've been held up from doing just that by the Republicans. Thank God. Not wanting any of them to be tried here in the United States, even though our record here is really quite good. Well, we don't want these people tried in the United States because we don't trust this administration. That's number one. And we don't trust this particular Justice Department. That's number two. We do not trust that these men are going to... None of these men should never see the light of day again. But if they get tried in the United States with this administration and this Justice Department, forget about it. They'll be out in a week. That's why we're trying to stop you, Mr. Reid, because we don't trust you. And rightly so. We should not trust you. But old Harry, he wasn't done there. No, no. I mean, this guy is a sound bite a second, this guy. He has now taken a bite out of the Hillary Clinton crime book and was asked why he was the only member of Congress who was notified of the Bergdahl release. And this is his ridiculous response.
How come it seems that you were the only one who got a heads up the day before?
I'm not sure I'm the only one. I mean, it's made a big deal over nothing. The whole deal is it Friday or Saturday? What difference does it make? What difference does it make?
What difference does it make? Is it Friday? Is it Saturday? Well, I don't know. I'm insane. What the hell's the matter with this guy? What difference does it make? Well, evidently they talked to him. I guess the president, he called up Harry Reid. but had to apologize to old Dianne Feinstein. But Harry Reid, he gets the notice. He's in the inn. I wonder how those men that captured these five terrorists, I wonder how they feel about their release. I'm sure that their capture was not an easy capture to make. Pretty sure, I don't know, I wasn't there. But I'm going to go ahead and put my ducats down. And there were people that were killed capturing these people. Pretty sure about that one. And I just found out today, and I didn't know this, but these Talibans were released 5 days, not 5 hours, not 5 minutes, but 5 days before they released Bergdahl. Now, why the hell would this administration, why would anybody agree to that? I mean, these terrorists get out of jail before, I mean, I know this guy's a deserter and all, but still. I mean, if we're going to make a deal, no. I mean, I know it was successful and all, and nothing happened, but, I mean, it very well could have. First of all, if you're going to do any kind of deal with these people, they're going to have to deal with you, meaning you're going to have to pull the strings. You're going to have to make the demands. You're going to have to do this. You're going to have to take charge. Well, they didn't. They dropped their shorts and said, okay, Taliban, we'll give you whatever you want. We'll release your guys 5 days before you release ours. No problem. No problem at all. I mean, this guy gets released out in the frickin' desert. They're up on the high ground there. I mean, it was serious ambush country right there. It could have very easily, since they already had their guys for 5 days, that could have very easily turned south. But see, they don't think about that. Just appease the Taliban so they don't attack us anymore. Give them whatever they want. Well, a top Taliban commander says that they are now inspired to capture more Americans and use them as trading cards. He didn't say trading cards, I did, but that's exactly what they're going to be used for. They're going to make a lot of money off the United States now. They don't have to get military. They can capture Americans anywhere in the world. They're everywhere in the world. They might even capture people right here in the United States. How about that, Mr. Obama? You stop to think about that one? You don't think there's any Taliban in the United States? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. They're all over the frickin' world. Well, this is a report from Time.com by Aaron Baker. Those selected to physically hand Mr. Bergdahl over to U.S. officials at prearranged location on the other side of the border of Afghanistan rehearsed the messages they wanted to convey to the American people. Well, we've heard their messages. We don't like it. We don't care to hear it again. But they made sure they had a videographer out there. It was assigned to cover the event, obviously for propaganda purposes. And those that were closest to Bergdahl, believe this, those that were in his captors, he became friends with some of his captors, this guy, which I understand, I get it. I've never been captured, never been a prisoner of war, but it does happen. You get that Stockholm syndrome. It does happen. It happens right here in the United States. If you're a Democrat, you have Stockholm syndrome, period. But he did befriend them. He went to befriend them. He left his base. He left his post. He left his gun. He left his night goggles. He left everything. He went out seeking the Taliban. Evidently, this guy wanted to be their friends or something for whatever reason. I don't know, man. It's a sad, tragic, I don't know what happened to this guy, what made him snap. But something made this guy snap. And I think his daddy might have something to do with it. His dad, I'm sorry, but I can't. I want to feel sorry for the mama. I really do. But I can't. I can't. I really want to. In my heart of hearts, I really want to feel for mama. I don't feel anything for daddy. He lost it. I want it for mama, but I can't. I just can't pull the hammer down on that one. She's living with this guy. It's like you think at one point she could say, look, I married you and you were fine, you were clean shaven and all this, but you think maybe you could take off your Taliban costume once in a while? Think maybe you can do that and start acting like an adult? Start acting like an American? Can you do that for me, honey? Think maybe you can do that? Did she do that? No. I would love to feel for mama, but I can't. I just can't. Maybe there's going to be some news coming out later that I might be able to. I want to. But at this point, no, I can't. I can't feel for any of them. None of them. Those that were closest to him, they actually commissioned a local tailor, believe this or not, before his release. They commissioned him, a local tailor, to make him a set of the local tunic and the trousers in white, which, if given as a gift, denotes a gesture of respect. Well, if you watch that video and you've got that one Taliban guy, the Bergdahl, sitting in the back, it looks like a pretty relaxed, they look pretty relaxed and pretty comfortable with each other. The Taliban guy's got his arm leaning on the open window, the open door. Looks like they're having a conversation. Now, whether he said, don't come back to Afghanistan again, you won't make it out alive, I don't know. The video said, don't come back to Afghanistan. Who knows what they said? And he's patting him on his shoulder there. It looked a little too, I don't know, they looked a little too friendly. That's all I'm going to say. What was really going on, I don't know. At this point, there's too many other things to worry about rather than that, even though that's important. Everything's important. This is one of the Taliban. You know, we are also human beings and have hearts in our bodies. That's right. You are a human being. You do have a heart in your body. But you don't seem to have a heart in your soul. There's a big difference there, Mr. Taliban man. We are fighting a war against each other, in which the Americans kill us and we kill them. But we did whatever we could to make Mr. Bergdahl happy. I'm having trouble buying this. I don't know. Maybe it is true. Maybe they are great friends. Maybe they'll remain, pen pals. They'll friend each other on Facebook. I don't know. They'll send each other tweets. The commander spoke to Time by telephone from an undisclosed location in Afghanistan. He's got to remain anonymous because his Taliban members wouldn't like that for this guy talking to Time, which I think this is probably done deliberately. They have propaganda ministers. And this guy, this top commander, is probably a propaganda minister. He knows what he's saying. He knows the message he wants to get across. He knows the propaganda he wants to get out there. And if you buy it, you're an idiot. Stay out of the conversation because I don't want to listen to you. Well, the talks with the Taliban, they fell apart in 2012 or 2011, whenever. Well, the commander said that Mr. Bergdahl became dispirited, and he didn't believe his captors when they told him that he was going to be released. He didn't believe them. He was almost released at one point. Then it was called off. Exactly what happened with the talks, who knows? Who knows? They wanted a whole bunch of money. We said no. They wanted a whole bunch of this. We said no. I guess the original one was, I think it was like 15. I think that was the number 15 of these guys, plus a whole bunch of money. Our talks, this is him again. Our talks finally proved successful for the prisoner swap. We returned our valued guest. Valued guest. Oh, God. I mean, these guys are good. I mean, these guys got this propaganda stuff down to a science. Our valued guest to his people. And in return, they freed our five heroes. Heroes. These guys are heroes. To the Taliban. You know, those people, Al-Qaeda, Taliban, those jihadis. You know those people. Remember when we had the World Trade Center in New York City? Remember that? When they flew a bunch of planes into the buildings and then they collapsed and killed, like, what, 3,000 people? They flew a plane into the Pentagon? And another one was crash-landed in Pennsylvania? You remember that? That was even longer than Benghazi, but you still remember it. Obviously, Mr. Obama doesn't remember it. Maybe that was a glorious day for you, Mr. Obama? I mean, did that make you happy, 9/11? What? Why would you make any deals with these people? I don't know, me, myself, I wouldn't have any conversation with them. None? Why? For what? You can't talk to these people. And why give them any respect whatsoever to even have a conversation? That's number one. They hijack our planes, kill 3,000 of our people. Terrorize us? And we got to become their friends? And talk to them? And negotiate with them? And release their generals that were captured in the battleground? I still wonder what those guys that captured these men, I really want to know what they think. They're probably not very happy. The only people that seem to be very happy is this administration. Obama, he's happy. Harry Reid, I mean, Harry Reid is ecstatic. Ah, he's beside him. He's beside himself. He's so happy. Well, for the Taliban, they see this criminal act by their Muslim president as an unmitigated victory. And I'm talking about our Muslim president. And yeah, he's got to be Muslim. I'm sorry. I'm not going to sit here and mince words. I can't sugarcoat anything. This man is a Muslim, which is fine. You can be any religion you want to. I don't have a problem with any religion. I don't care. He's also a traitor. He's also committed treason. What he did in Benghazi is treason. When you allow the enemy to attack or you allow the enemy to continue their attack, that is treason. Treason is aiding and abetting the enemy, and that's exactly what they did. Mr. President, we've got our embassy. It's on fire. We can't find our ambassador. We're being attacked with all kinds of people out there, mortars and machine guns. Okay, boys, I'm going to go up and eat now. 2.5 to 3 hours later, Valerie Goebbels shows up in the Situation Room. Where's the president? Well, we don't know. So what's the first thing Valerie Goebbels does? Hear this. This is an advisor. An advisor taking charge of the Situation Room. I mean, you wouldn't even see something like that on 24, man. I mean, even television is smarter than that. Jesus, God, man. But did she send any troops to go out there and rescue these people? No. They went immediately into spin mode. She gets down there. Within 5 minutes, they call YouTube. We got to blame it on this video. Take this video down. Do this. Do that. We got to cover our ass. Instead of protecting our people's ass, they're covering their ass. Well, I suppose you didn't need the president for that. I mean, but that's treason. I'm sorry, but it is. He allowed the enemy to attack. He allowed the enemy to continue their attack. And then he trades five of their top generals, their commanders, for a deserter. It's time for impeachment. I don't care. I'm going to be calling for impeachment every single night I'm on the air. I'm going to be calling until he's gone. I mean, I'm sorry, but this is not a blue-stained dress kind of scandal here. This is beyond a scandal. This is a crime. High crimes and misdemeanors. High crimes and misdemeanors are committed by people in power, in authority. They're the only ones who commit the crime. Mr. Obama, you have committed high crimes and misdemeanors. You have violated the Constitution far too many times. It is time for you to go. Either you can resign or you can be impeached. That's it. But with this Republican Congress, my God in heaven, they're going to take forever. Even if they do start impeachment hearings right now, this guy, they still wouldn't get it done in time for this guy to get out of office. Oh, we can't do that. Why? Well, we got midterm elections coming up, and we got to see how, you know, the Congress is going to look and see if we got enough. No. Don't worry about the stupid elections. Worry about doing your job. What is your job? Well, if you follow the Constitution, Mr. Congress, you'll know what to do. It tells you what to do. And I got it in my hand right frickin' here. That's your job as Congress. I'm sorry. But when you have a president committed treason against this country, people have died. The enemy was allowed to attack. The enemy was allowed to continue their attack. And we sent no help. Our president, the very moment he found out about Benghazi being attacked, our embassy attacked, our ambassador has gone missing, he's getting raped, cattle prodded, tortured, burnt, finally murdered. And three other Americans were murdered. What does he do upon hearing that? He goes upstairs to eat. I don't know about you, but when I get news, you know, bad news like that, I mean, the last thing that I want to do is eat. I'm sorry, but my appetite goes away. Most anybody with a conscience, most anybody with a brain, most anybody with a soul, not going to have an appetite. Especially if they told you that the embassy's on fire, the ambassador has gone missing, and we're being attacked. How could you possibly eat at that time? And then, once you're done with dinner, does he go into the Situation Room? No. He gets on the horn and has a 2.5-hour conversation with Benjamin Netanyahu. He hates Netanyahu. So why would he spend 2 hours on the phone with somebody that he doesn't even like? Kiss and make up? I mean, my Lord. What is it? I mean, isn't there anybody in our government that can see this stuff? We all see it. We're Americans. We can see it. How come they can't see it? I know they're too close to it, but I'm sorry. If they're not doing anything about it, that means they're complicit. That means they're part of the problem. That means they're guilty as well. So this is our job. This 2014 election coming up here in, what, 6 months, 7 months, whenever. That's going to be the most critical election this country has ever had. I mean, this is going to be the most critical, the most, the utmost, most critical. Bergdahl had learned basic Pashto during his incarceration. Well, he had those Rosetta Stone tapes, and he gets all friendly with the Taliban. Learn me, yeah, teach me your language. Teach me your language. I want to be your friend. I don't like Americans. Yeah. They're mean, they're nasty, they're racist, and they hate. Oh. God damn. We wanted him to return home with good memories. That's what this commander said, talking about Mr. Bergdahl. Another commander describes the scenes of intense jubilation after the Taliban leadership and their supporters. Upon hearing the news, candies and sweet pastries were being handed around. Here you are, take your candy. Here's your sweet pastry. And they even cooked up a goat. The whole goat, they put it on a spit, turn around. They had a party, man. A party. Well, I wonder about all the family members that lost their loved ones looking for this guy. I wonder if they had a party. I wonder if they threw a party when they found out the good news that these five creeps were going to be released. I just wonder if they threw a party. Those close to the leadership and the detainees are feasting on a whole goat cooked in rice. Yuck. I mean, I don't know. I've never eaten goat, but I'm not real interested in eating a goat. Not for nothing. I can't explain how our people are happy and excited over this unbelievable achievement. Achievement? It wasn't an achievement. You didn't have to do anything. Our president couldn't wait to drop his drawers. Not much of an achievement. This is a historic moment for us. Today, our enemy, for the first time, officially recognized our status. What the hell does he mean by that? It's better to ask when the Taliban would be inspired by the exchange to kidnap others. This man laughed, and he said, definitely. Well, duh. You didn't have to ask him. I mean, common sense would have told you that. Common sense would have told you. That's why we don't negotiate with these people. That's why we don't negotiate with these people. If you really had to get Mr. Bergdahl out of there, you were so concerned with his health. And by the looks of that video, it didn't look like he was very unhealthy. He didn't look thin. Actually, it looked like he gained a couple of pounds. He looked in pretty good health. He seemed to be walking normally, walking fine, didn't seem to have a problem with that. That whole health is called spin. It's not true. His health was not the problem. They said, obviously, something to Mr. Obama, and he got scared. Either they said they're going to kill him, or they're going to kill more people, and he got scared. And he dropped trow and surrendered. And that's exactly what he did. This man has surrendered to the Taliban. And then you got Lindsey Graham. Well, if you do it again, somebody might bring up impeachment. Really, Mr. Graham? Somebody might bring up impeachment if he does it again. Really? And what are you going to do when you bring it up? You going to do anything with it? Of course not. We'll just have a hearing on it so everybody can claim the Fifth Amendment and shut up. We need grand juries, and we need them today, now, right this very moment. The president needs to answer, not only to Congress, but to the American people, of where he was when Benghazi was on fire, when our ambassador was being raped with a cattle prod. He needs to answer to the American people why he went upstairs to eat. Then after he feasted, he went on a 2.5-hour phone call with Benjamin Netanyahu. Then after that, he sends Valerie Goebbels down there to take charge of the spin room. And we don't know where our president was. We still don't know. They won't say. Oh, he was in the White House. Oh, he was getting updates. Updates from what? CNN? He goes on. It's better to kidnap one person like Bergdahl than kidnapping hundreds of useless people. I don't know what he means by that. It has encouraged our people. Now everybody will work hard to capture such an important bird. That's a quote. I didn't write this stuff. This is what he said. He called him a bird, an important bird. There was some disgruntlement amongst the Taliban ranks over the terms. Some members wanted a bunch of ransom money. Some people wanted more Guantanamo detainees. But they went back and forth, blah, 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 blah. But The leadership prevailed. We told them that these five men are more important than millions of dollars. Well, Oliver North, which I got a story about Oliver North. We actually, we're actually a lot closer to each other than what we know. He doesn't know that I know him, but I do know Mr. North. And we've had a run-in. My buddy stole his food. It was a crazy night. It was a crazy, crazy night. I don't even remember where we were. I think we could have been in Hawaii at a ship's party. Oh, I better not go into that story. I might get in trouble. But I like Oliver North. I always have. And I went in the Navy right around that time that Iran-Contra deal was going on. At that time, I really wasn't all that political. I didn't really pay attention to too much of it. I didn't really know too much of it. I remember being on the news all the time, and you know the news. Oliver North was he was Bin Laden back then, you would think. Exactly what the deal was with all of that, I really don't know. Maybe you would think that this country would learn from some of the mistakes that we make, but no. If we make a mistake, we can't wait to get another administration in there to make the same mistake again and again and again. That's called incompetence. That's called stupidity. That's called dangerous. Well, getting back to the money, Ollie North was on the Steve Malzberg show Tuesday, and he made the claim that there was a ransom that was paid. And he said it on more than one show. So here's this exchange. This is with Steve Malzberg. This was Tuesday.
To get free.
And by the way, this wasn't the Taliban holding him.
Exactly.
This was the terrorist group holding him. I mean, a real hardcore terrorist group.
Oh, yeah.
Taliban a terrorist, but this was a known terrorist group.
Well, and so we know, I mean, and Brad Thor wrote a piece for The Blaze yesterday that is spot on. And I know the people with whom he has been speaking, because I introduced those guys. That the reality of it is that what we've done is to fund a criminal enterprise called the Akani Network.
Right.
And someone is paid an enormous ransom, not just the five, which is bad, but worse yet, someone paid a ransom, whether the Qataris paid it or some big oil sheik or somebody used our petrodollars, but there was a ransom paid in cash for each one of them. My guess, somewhere in the round numbers of $5 or $6 million to get Bergdahl free.
Wow.
Unbelievable. I mean, at this point, I really don't know who to believe or why to believe or what to believe. But I'm going to have to believe my old pal, Ollie North, on this one. I suspected it, and I said it early on, the very first moment. I said I knew there was money involved. This president can't do a damn thing without writing a check to somebody. He loves handing out money. What does he care? It's not his money. If it was his money, you'd think he'd be handing it out? Ooh, no. This man loves handing out money. I can guarantee you the United States paid this. We had to have. I just don't trust this government. I don't trust this administration. Now, if we can find out that he paid, how we can find that out, I don't know. But if we did, I mean, again, that's just another chalk up for the impeachment case. Why this man hasn't been impeached already, I don't know. I'm still waiting for the Attorney General to get impeached from Fast and Furious. But that's all right. He's in contempt. Still, no one has been fired from the IRS. Nobody. And that's a serious issue. I know nobody was killed. But when you take away somebody's freedom of speech, their First Amendment right. Okay, they may not be dead in the sense that they're not breathing, but you've taken their freedom away from them. They're living dead. They're not free. If you're not free, you are dead. Fast and Furious. Yeah, we only lost one. I know, it wasn't that many. It wasn't like, you know, Benghazi. Benghazi had like four. And that really wasn't very many. So I don't know what everybody's all up in arms over this stuff for. He's looking out for the best interest of the United States. That's what he's doing. He believes in the American people. And we never leave anybody behind. We just let them die. And now you got Joe Scarborough, which I am not a fan of Joe Scarborough, never have been. Broken clock has got to be right once in a while, right? Well, this morning, Mr. Joe Scarborough was right. One of the very, 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 very few times I have ever agreed with Mr. Scarborough. But I could not agree with this man more right now if I tried. I know it doesn't really mean a lot, but I think what's going on here with this whole thing, you had the VA. I mean, you got one scandal after another with this administration. Before we can finish one, we get another one. And I was thinking about this yesterday. I'm thinking, oh, my God. Look, with all of these scandals that has plagued this administration, or should I say, let me rephrase that one. It hasn't plagued this administration. It has plagued the American people. That's who it's plagued. This guy is not affected by any of his scandals. Okay, fine. He's got a couple of gray hairs now, which I don't know. I don't have any proof. But was as phony as this administration is, and as phony as Democrats are, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he didn't dye his hair gray to make it look like he's more statesman. He's got gray hair. He's older. He's a statesman. He looks intelligent. No, he doesn't look intelligent, nor does he sound intelligent. Mr. Scarborough's on here with this Chuck Todd. There was Bill Kristol was on there. He, half the time, I don't know what the hell the deal with him is. And that stupid Willie Geist. I mean, what is that? And that Mika Dominski. Good God almighty. Sweetheart, I'm sorry, but just shut up. And I didn't play anything in her because she kept trying to interrupt. She always has to interrupt. The conversation always has to be about her. I mean, you got two people on their show. They're going back and forth. She's got to interject. It's like, shut up. First of all, she never understands a goddamn conversation. And she didn't on this one either. She still didn't understand the conversation or what they were talking about. But yet she tried to interrupt. Sweetheart, you're only on television because of your daddy. That's the only reason why you have a job. You're a nothing burger. You're nothing. Argue just for the sake of arguing, which is counterproductive and tedious, by the way. Well, Scarborough, he's holding up this picture, and it's got the president got both of his arms around Mr. and Mrs. Bergdahl as they're leaving the Rose Garden and walking back into the residence. And this is after Taliban Bob is what I'm calling him. His name is Bob. He dresses like the Taliban. He's learned the language of the Taliban. He might as well be Taliban. So he's now Taliban Bob. After he finished slobbering all over Allah and declaring the White House grounds for Islam, Mr. Scarborough's holding up that picture. And then when he criticized the father for insanely insulting the American people, which that was an insult. I'm sorry, there, Taliban Bob. I'm glad you got your son back and all. You know, I can feel for you that way, a humanitarian that I am. But you insulted every single member of every single citizen of this country. You insulted America. I'm sorry you may not see it. You may not understand what you said. I don't know. I don't care. But you insulted this country. I gotta put you down as treason too. I'm sorry, but that's traitorous to me. When you side with the enemy, I don't care. When you side with them, that's traitorous. Is it not? I mean, am I misunderstanding the frickin' word? I don't think so. Well, when he criticized his father for making this ridiculous insult by declaring, I don't know, whatever it means Allah is great and merciful and gracious and all this and so great and wonderful, unicorns and rainbows for everybody. Well, evidently, when you say that, at a particular time I've heard, you know, other Muslims say this, that you're declaring that ground, you're declaring that for Allah. And that's exactly what he did. And, of course, the president, as soon as he heard that, did you see that big, huge, giant smile on his face? I mean, he lit up. He knows that phrase. He knows that phrase. He's a Muslim. Well, when Chuck Todd, rightly so, criticized the father, this is when Chuck E. Cheese Todd sets himself on fire. And this is that exchange. Go ahead.
Keep holding this image up that Nancy Gibbs pointed to, where Barack Obama has his arm around a man who is reaching out to pro-Taliban forces, talking about killing Americans. The justice. Who wants to wait me here?
Don't criticize the parents. Don't criticize the parents in here. I think that
I can criticize the parents that have reached out
I
to
wouldn't
the
criticize
Taliban
the parents.
And
I'm sorry.
Oh my God,
that
Chuck.
Are missing a child. Their son is missing for 5 years.
Chuck,
you know what? It is not
father,
logical.
You cannot handle it. If
then,
my
you know,
son,
you,
I got a 26-year-old son,
shoes.
And if my son,
he was not missing. He was not missing. Number one, he left the base. He left his post. And they knew where he was at. We knew exactly where he was at. And we could have got him any time we wanted to, but we didn't want to risk any more lives on a goddamn traitor. Chuck Todd, sometimes I don't understand these people. How they can come out here and defend this, any of this stuff. I don't know how to do it. I can't defend any of this stuff. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they go home after defending this stuff all day long, and then they go home at night to their families. How does their families welcome them home? This is what I don't understand, unless their families are just the same way. Well, this liberalism is a disease. And that's what it is. It's a disease. It's a mind disease. It's a mind deficiency. I do believe that. It's called a lazy mind. It's very easy to be a liberal. Just argue anything that has anything to do with logic. Just argue it. And if somebody says that they're a conservative, immediately you must label them a hater, a homophobe, a racist, this and that, and argue everything that they say. That's all you have to do. Anything that doesn't make sense, that makes sense. Well, here's a second clip to this. And I think this one gets a little heated. So let's go ahead and play this second one.
And if my son is out on the wire and he is out there with fellow troops and he writes me up and says he hates America and he's thinking about deserting and he's thinking about leaving his post, I can tell you as a father of that 26-year-old or 23-year-old son, I'd say, Joey, you stay the hell right there. I would call his commander. I would say, get my son. He is not well. Get him to a military base in Germany. I would not say, follow your son. I would not reach out to the voice of jihad.
I'm not backseat driving
please.
How someone parents.
No, that is not backseat driving.
Joe.
I am a father. Any good father would not tell their son to follow their conscience and
so
leave men
father?
And women on the line. Yes. Yes, he is.
Wow.
The oh, my God, Chuck.
See, there's Mika in there, always trying to interject. Shut up. And, yeah, Chuck Todd, this man is a bad father. I'm going to go ahead and say it. He's a bad father. And Mr. Scarborough, for the first time in my life, I've agreed with you, and I can't agree with you more. I don't know what the hell's going on with me. But Mr. Scarborough, you're absolutely correct. And you're right. I would have done the same thing. My son would have said, I want a dessert. I hate America. I don't like what I'm doing over here. I never would have said, trust your conscience or go with your conscience. I never would have supported that. I couldn't. Why would you join the army knowing full well you're going to go to Afghanistan? Why would you join the army and then all of a sudden get disillusioned? How does that happen? Unless he was already screwed up. Well, we do know he was a little bit screwed up when he tried to join the Foreign Legion, or the French Foreign Legion. What the hell is that? Why would an American want to join a French Foreign Legion for? Mr. Scarborough, you're absolutely correct. This man is a bad father. He goes out there and declares the White House grounds for Allah. And he tells his son, basically, go AWOL. Get out of there. Go join the Taliban. And the father's out there sending all these tweets. Oh, I'm still working on trying to get all the prisoners out of Guantanamo Bay. He might have been doing that, you know, to thinking that he's appeasing his son's captors so they don't kill him. Blah, 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 blah. Guess I might be able to understand a little bit of that. You got your son, he's held captive by these people, and I can understand where you want to do anything and everything you can to get him out of there. But it doesn't seem that there was really that. It seems that they were all working in concert with each other. I'm sorry, but this Mr. Bergdahl did not look really mistreated. They hired a tailor to give him a new suit. They cooked him a goat, gave him candies and sweet treats. They were his buddy. They met an American friend. And another thing, that helicopter, when it came down, and those guys that were, and I seen this on Glenn Beck, and I thought this too at the very first time I seen it. And I watched a clip of Beck, and he brought that up. And I was like, yeah, I noticed that too. I don't know who these people were. I don't know if they were CIA, paramilitary. I don't know who they were. Our people that picked him up in that helicopter, they were in, like, civilian clothes. They weren't military. God only knows who they were. God only knows who they were. Problem that I had is when they took him, they didn't search him until they get all the way down to the helicopter, and then they search him. They already had their Taliban commanders. He could have easily been had a bomb strapped to him. It could have been a serious ambush. But why did they search him when they got to the helicopter? Why didn't they search him before they brought him to the helicopter? I don't know that. I don't know. And God only knows what they're doing. And this administration doesn't want to prosecute him. Well, he served his time. I think he served his time. Yeah, we don't need to prosecute him. We know he deserted and cost a lot of people's lives. And we spent a lot of money and a lot of resources out there looking for the guy. And, yeah, a lot of people died and all kinds of stuff. But, yeah, we traded in the 5 worst men on planet Earth. We don't need to prosecute him. He served his time. Yeah, he served his time. I don't think the guy should get the firing squad. But I don't think this guy should be allowed to go free. Not yet. Maybe some psychological counseling of some sort. Find out what the hell happened to this kid Squash, why he turned the way he did. Maybe take a closer look at old daddy, old Taliban Bob. Find out what the hell happened to him. Find out what the hell happened to this president. Now the Obama administration says anti-Muslim hate speech can be punished. You can be prosecuted. Imagine that. Prosecuted for anti-Muslim hate speech. Well, what the hell does that mean? This just came over right before I came on. I just seen this, and I had to post this. I didn't even get a chance to really read it. It just went over it real quick. But one of Obama's U.S. attorneys in Tennessee said that Americans who spoke against Islam could be prosecuted. But you can talk about the Christians all you want to. They're creeps. The Christians, you can talk about them. You can urinate on a cross. You can burn a cross. You can make fun of Jesus. You can make fun of God. You can make fun of, but don't you dare make fun of Allah. Or that prophet Muhammad. Can't do that. That's hate speech. Bill Killian, U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Tennessee, said that inflammatory material against Islam might be a violation of federal civil rights laws. What do you mean, might be? What the hell? Now, shut up. Such a violation could bring the federal government down on those opposing Islam here in the United States. Well, didn't he say that the future would not be kind to those? This is what he said after Benghazi blew up. You know that filmmaker that created all this mess and killed Mr. Stevens and Mr. Woods and Mr. Smith and Mr. Doherty and however many other men that were killed, but we don't know who they are. They're not supposed to be there. Because you can't put those men down there on the books because they were doing arms deals with Al-Qaeda. So we don't know how many actually died. There was a lot that was injured. We don't know that number either. We're not allowed to talk to them. As reported by the Tacoma News, Killian and the FBI's Kenneth Moore hosted a public disclosure in a diverse society to help the community learn how anti-Islam speech could land an American before authorities. This is an educational effort with civil rights laws as they play into freedom of religion and exercising freedom of religion. Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Killian. There's also a thing in that First Amendment called freedom of speech. I guess they didn't teach that in law school. This is also to inform the public what federal laws are in effect and what the consequences are. There are no consequences to freedom of speech. You understand? There's no consequences to freedom of speech. Well, there shouldn't be. There are, but there shouldn't be. Killian talked of how some Muslims are innocent of terror. Well, okay. And that terrorism is committed by only a small number of Muslims. Really, a small number. Well, they may be a small number, but they're sure as a hell of a lot of them. I mean, my God, the Taliban numbers and Al-Qaeda numbers, and all of them. You can't count all of the terrorist organizations there are. The Muslim, the anti-Muslim, I mean, the Islam terrorists, whatever you want to call them, jihadis. There's too many to count. What are you talking about? There's a small number. Small number. They're all over the world. They're all over Europe, Canada. They're in the United States. They're in Australia. They're all over the Middle East. They're in Asia. They're all over the world. What do you mean? Terrorism is committed by only a small number of Muslims. What do you mean by that? Then he illegitimately invoked the 1995 bombing of the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. You remember that. What the hell that has to do with the war on terror right now? I have no idea. Doesn't make any sense to me. To link Muslim-perpetrated terror to the bombing of Timothy McVeigh is simply illegitimate, this article says. Well, duh. They had nothing to do with each other. Killian mentioned the two in the same breath as if they are one and the same. But see, Mr. McVeigh, he said he was brought up Catholic, but he considered himself agnostic. But this guy says, no, Timothy McVeigh and this other guy, what the hell was his name now? God dog it. What the heck? Terry Nichols, that's his name. Claims that they were both Christians. Well, what does that mean? I don't care what their religion is. And what does this have to do with the war on terror? What does this have to do with Islam? Why would this guy bring this up? Well, what he's doing, he's trying to show that Christians are more terrorists than Muslims. See, this is called propaganda. Yeah. Mr. O'Reilly, you still think Nazism ain't alive and well in the United States? Frickin' believable. Bah, 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 bah. Any more on this? Bah, 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 bah. Well, bottom line is this. If you say anything about Islam, you're going to be thrown in jail. Imagine that. You get thrown in jail. Get thrown in a cell. Big, huge, ugly dude. In there for murder and rape and all kinds of, villainous crimes. And he asks you, well, what are you in here for? Well, I criticize Islam. Well, I'm going to criticize Islam, and I really don't give a damn. Why don't you come get me there, Mr. Killian? Why don't you come get me? I'll fight to the death. I'm sorry. But I'm going to look, freedom of speech is too important to me. It's too important to me, and it should be too important to you to just give away. Give away to who? Well, the enemy. Those people that are the only reason why they procreate is to get more children to grow up to kill more Americans. And you want me to give away my freedom of speech to them? Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. Look, if we're going to put an end to this stuff, we got to put an end to it. And there's only one way to put an end to it. And that's to start at the top. Take the top down. And that's Mr. Obama. He must be impeached. This entire administration must be impeached. Mr. Obama, you deserve to go to jail. I'm sorry. But you do. You should spend the rest of your life in jail. The moment you found out our embassy was being attacked and our ambassador was nowhere to be found and you go upstairs and eat? Then when you're done eating, stuffing your fat face with your fat wife, then you get on the phone for 2.5 hours to Benjamin Netanyahu? And then after that, I guess she's a propaganda minister, down there to begin the spin. Where were you, Mr. President? Oh, that's right. You were getting updates. What, from a tweet? Your ass belonged in that situation room taking charge. What a president is supposed to do. This president was AWOL. He's a commander-in-chief. He went AWOL. He deserted his post under attack. That is desertion. I'm sorry. But that is an act of war. When you attack an embassy, that's an act of war. This president deserted his country during an act of war. They used to put people on the firing squad for that, Mr. Obama. All right, let's open up my treasure chest here, see if we can plunder any kind of booty left tonight. I doubt it. I don't know. Oh, God, this illegal immigration is exploding, and our Border Patrol are overwhelmed. I don't know if we're going to have enough. Well, we should have enough time to get into that tonight. You would not believe what they're – I mean, look, these people coming over to America, I can understand why you want to come over here. I get it. I get it. I get it. But the problem is you don't understand what you're doing. And you actually are putting yourself in more danger than you ever thought. You're not coming over here to be a citizen. You're coming over here to be a vote. They don't want you here to be a citizen. They want you here to be a vote. That's it. That's the only reason they're allowing you to come over here. Well, now they're putting it on television in Guatemala, all over Central America. Yeah, bring your children to all moms. Bring your children across the border to America. They won't do anything. They won't bring you back home. You won't be touched. You're going to be welcome. Come on in. Yeah, I know they stop people at the border all the time in certain places, but it's still very porous. Anybody can get into the United States. We're not doing a damn thing. We're encouraging these people to come over here so they can sign up for Obamacare and get it all for free and get welfare and get this. And as long as they vote Democrat, they'll be okay. They'll be taken care of. Clinton aides tell New York Times to back off. Veterans are now receiving letters. Imagine this. You come home from war and you get a letter from the federal government after you've done your time. You went to war. You fought for the country. You fought for freedom. You fought to release the Taliban. Are now receiving letters prohibiting the purchase and possession and receipt or transport of firearms and ammunition. I know it's taking me all week to get to this story. Maybe I might be able to get to it tonight. Now the public schools now, in partnership with the medical field and the government, they're all connected. Government is all connected. It's all one big, huge, giant web of corruption. Well, now the public schools. We've got the medical field now. You're 12 years old. You are not allowed to have your parent into the room with the doctor and with the nurse. So this nurse can do your job as a parent. They've taken the parenting out of parenting. It's no longer the parent's responsibility to be the parent. It's now the government's responsibility, beginning with the school, the doctors, police, anybody else. Well, we got a couple stories on what's going on with the public schools. You're not going to believe this stuff. Well, anymore, I mean, I say I don't believe it, but I do believe it. I'm really not surprised at any of this stuff anymore. Well, Clinton aides, they have a little meeting now with the New York Times. And they were throwing fits, having little temper tantrums, and had to set up a meeting with the New York Times, all of Hillary Clinton's aides. They said it was unfair coverage of Ms. Clinton. The New York Times, unfair coverage. What does that mean? What does that mean? I wonder how many times the New York Times had unfair coverage of President George Bush, Ronald Reagan, George W. Bush. Did any of them have a little meeting with them? And, hey, stop giving us such bad coverage.
Can you do that? No. No. But Hillary can get away with it. She's the queen. She's the first woman to ever be born with a brain. You didn't know that? Oh, it was a, oh man, I seen the headlines and everything. First female born with a brain. Doctors are amazed. And it's bigger than men's. Well, her ass is bigger than men's. I can tell you that. The meeting included Clinton. Clinton advisors, Philippe Raines, that Huma Abedin. I mean, that girl, what a, just a, she's a scumbag. Her and her stupid husband, Anthony Weiner. Anthony Weiner's a pervert. Why the hell, this woman's had his child. She was pregnant with his child as he's off taking pictures of his little pee-pee and sending it all to these young girls. And she's going to stick with him on that and raise her child. Yeah, this is your daddy. He's the pervert. See, he takes pictures of his pee-pee and sends it out to little girls. This is your daddy. Be proud of him. I don't feel one damn bit sorry for you, Huma Abedin, whatever your stupid name is. Oh, she's a big old Muslim, too, which is weird because Weiner is a Jew, as well as the Times bureau chief, Carolyn Ryan, and national political reporter, Amy Chosik. I guess that's how you pronounce a name. Chosik, whatever. She's the one who's been covering Ms. Clinton. And during that closed-door meeting, Clinton aides reportedly argued that Clinton has left the public office and is not to be subject to harsh scrutiny because she left public office. Really? No harsh scrutiny for Hillary Clinton because she's left public office. So if she wins president, they can start back up again? I mean, what the hell does that mean? What the hell does that mean? I mean, what the hell does that mean? Why would you do... How... First of all, the effrontery of, first of all, going up to a newspaper and demanding a closed-door meeting and intimidating a newspaper that you are not allowed to give any harsh criticism to Hillary Clinton? You're not allowed to do that? But what are you going to do, Hillary, if they do? Huh? Any of them going to mysteriously wind up dead? You've done it before. So I don't see why you wouldn't want to do it again. Certainly within the realm of possibilities. The Clintons are good at that. Oh, yeah, they're great at having people close to them just mysteriously die. These weird deaths, too. Weird. A lot of plane crashes, all kinds of stuff. You can't prove nothing. It's a plane crash. Hey, we didn't have nothing to do with nothing. Amy Chosik recently reported that there was a family feud between the Clintons and Marjorie Margulies, who happens to be Chelsea Clinton's mother-in-law. She ran for a Democratic primary bid for U.S. Congress last May, and she lost. And, well, they reported that this Margulies is all pissed off at Hillary Clinton because Hillary didn't take the time to go out and campaign with her. So now she's upset with that. So she's blaming Hillary why she lost. Well, maybe you lost the race because of you. And why would you want that woman up there campaigning for you in the first place? You deserve to lose. You even think to even bring someone like that up. But I don't want to hear it. But I mean, how do you have the audacity to go to a newspaper and demand that they do not, your aides, demand a newspaper to do nothing but puff piece after puff piece after puff piece? The woman has nothing. They also reported, this is what really pissed them off. This was in April. Just a couple months ago, they reported that the Clintons are having Hillary Clinton is having difficulty defining her accomplishments at the State Department. That's because she doesn't have any. And they don't want that. They don't want that getting out. They don't want the American people to know that Hillary Clinton has nothing accomplished? Nothing. Well, we don't need a newspaper to tell us she has never accomplished anything. We know it. What has she done? She doesn't even know what she's done. Nobody knows what she's done. What has she done? Nothing. What did she do in Benghazi? We still don't even know where she was. Where was she during all of this? Why did she get rid of all the security? Well, we don't know. There's something still with that Benghazi that there's more to that story than what we've heard. And now we're getting reports. I was listening to the GR Network last night, and I called up my source, a reporter. And I asked her what if she heard anything about it. She didn't hear anything about it, and she's trying to get back to me. But it looks like Trey Gowdy has hired somebody who's got connections with the Muslim Brotherhood to be put on this team for Benghazi. Whether that's true or not yet, I don't know. What connections this guy has, why he's on the committee, I don't know. But already it stinks. Already it stinks. Even if he didn't have him, I know for a fact. Oh, well, I don't know for a fact, but I just know the government. I know he's got subpoena power. But that subpoena power, I can guarantee you, is very limited. Who's he going to get? Who's he going to subpoena? Well, here's the only people that we need to subpoena, and that's the President of the United States, period. The President and the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. And if you can't get Hillary, fine. Well, at this point, we don't really need Hillary. What we need is the President. He's the only one who really, really needs to be up there and explain himself, not only to Congress, but to the American people. That's your hearing, Mr. Gowdy. That's who you subpoena. You don't subpoena anybody else. You subpoena the President. You subpoena the President first, and you get every drop out of him. You squeeze him dry. And if he don't answer, he don't comply, well, then you impeach, period. And you don't need extensive hearings on impeachment either. You do that in one day. Here's all the evidence. Here it is. Boom! We all know what the evidence is. And I was trying to do something, put together a list of all of the offenses that this man has committed against this country. All of the high crimes and misdemeanors, because that's what they are. They are high crimes and they are misdemeanors. What you did in Benghazi was treason. What you did with Fast and Furious, well, it borders on I wouldn't know if it was treason, but it's definitely criminal. It's definitely criminal. Putting weapons in the hands of terrorists, Mexican drug cartels. And that's right, Mexican drug cartels are terrorists, period. And you specifically put weapons in their hands, and you didn't trace them. That's a high crime, Mr. President. Newly leaked photos. This, we got to get into this. Now, I've seen these photos, and wow. Look, I know that they're illegal aliens, and they don't deserve all the respect, and they don't deserve this and don't deserve that, but they are friggin' humans. But the problem is there's nowhere to put these people. They got them in these cells. These big cells are just hundreds of kids. I mean, these are kids crossing the border by themselves without their parents. How does the hell does that happen? Well, we are encouraging it. If we blocked our border, if we had a secure border, we wouldn't have this problem. But we don't have a secure border. Let these other countries deal with their people. I'm sorry, but we can't deal with everybody. We're only one country. You got to deal with your own people, and don't send them over here to America because you can't feed them. Well, we can't feed them either. You got all these conditions, and it's dirty and skanky, and I guarantee you it stinks. It is rank. While thousands of illegal immigrants have overrun the U.S. border security and their processing centers in Texas. They're coming over in droves. They don't know what these people, Texas doesn't know what the hell to do with them. Secure the border and you won't have the problem. But we can't secure the border. Why? Well, because it's racist. You didn't know that? Oh, yeah. You can't say anything about Islam. You can't say anything about Mexicans. But you can talk about white people and Christians. You can talk about them. They're homophobes and racists and misogynists and they're creeps. Just your all-around, everyday, average creep. They're white. They're Christian. So you can pick on them. But don't you dare pick on Muhammad now. No. Prophet Muhammad now. Ooh. Can't say nothing about him. But you can talk about that Jesus guy. Yeah. That Jesus. Yeah. The guy that died on the cross for your sins. You can talk about him. He's nothing. He don't mean very much. Texas border expert and contributing editor Sylvia Longmire reviewed the photos, which I did too. Given the deteriorating security, this is her, and economic conditions in the Central American countries where most of these children and adult immigrants are coming from, it's hard to understand how the DHS didn't see this coming. Well, no, it's not. They planned this. This is all in their big master plan. If they're going to bring down the United States of America, they've got to bring down the country. You got to bring it down economically. You got to bring them down psychologically. You got to bring them down in the education, in the medical. You got to bring them down. Now, if you get all these people coming in here, you're going to break the bank. How can the American people afford to pay these people? There's only so many nickels in the kitty. And once that runs out, it runs out. You can only borrow so many nickels from China. And eventually they're going to say no more. You've got to repay your debt. Well, we can't. Oh, okay, well, we now own you. Well, I'm tired of this government selling off our country to all these other countries in the world. As far as I'm concerned, we don't owe China a damn thing. But we've got to put an end to this. I'm sorry, but impeachment hearings need to start now. And no more of these cockamamie hearings. We need real hearings, real court cases here, real grand juries. We need real prosecutors, real judges, real juries, real action taken. What the hell is another hearing going to do? Even if you did subpoena the president and you put him in contempt, what does that mean? What the hell does that mean? You need to put him in handcuffs. The man has committed treason. But he should spend the rest of his life in jail. I'm sorry. What he did in Benghazi was not only treason, but it was criminal all the way around. The president left his post. He went AWOL. When our country was being attacked, he left his post during a battle, in a war. Are we in a war over there? Yeah. Are we in a war with actual Libya? No. But the war on terror is not just in Afghanistan. It's not just in Pakistan. The war on terror is anywhere where there's terror. Planet Earth. And there's plenty of terror to go around in every country. This war on terror is planet Earth. That's the battleground. If you are on planet Earth, land, air, or sea, that's where the war on terror is being fought. And when you have your commander-in-chief, your president, leaving his post during a battle to go up to eat, and then get on the phone, and then go to bed, because he doesn't want to be bothered. It's too hard. Remember when he said that? Oh, this president, this is really hard. Really? So what did you think it was going to be? Like the Senate, where you come in every once in a while and you give a speech? He loves giving speeches, though, doesn't he? That's all he is. He does about a speech in a suit. Well, the DHS did see this coming, Miss Longmire. They planned this. This is what they want. They want to break this country down. And if they can bring enough illegal aliens in here, they can do it. They can get them to vote Democrat, no problem. No problem. And nobody's going to ask them for any ID. That's racist. She goes on, the trend towards increased cross-border movement towards South Texas and away from Arizona has been apparent. The trend of Central Americans starting to outnumber Mexican crossers has been apparent. Well, it's true. Guatemala, you got El Salvador, you got Honduras, all of Central America. They're coming over here. They know they can get over here, and they know that they're not going to be turned away. They know this. And they know they're going to get free Obamacare and free welfare and free this and free that and free, free, free. All they got to do is vote Democrat, and they get a free life. That's why they're coming over here. We have to stop the border. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I'm sorry. Again, I know I go back to this Constitution. I know I sound like a broken friggin' record. But not securing our border is a direct violation of the preamble of the Constitution, which is the government's role. This is the preamble is what the government's supposed to do. This is what the government is designed to do, right here. This Constitution is our government. This is our outline. These are the parameters to which they govern. This Constitution is America. And by not securing the borders, now, hey, again, in a perfect vacuum, yeah, we shouldn't have to have fences at our border. We shouldn't have to worry about that. We shouldn't have to have border patrol. In a perfect world, we shouldn't even have to have police. But do we live in a perfect world? No. Not even close. Not even close. Provide for the common defense. It says it right here. It's in the very first sentence of the preamble of the United States Constitution, our government. By not securing the border, how is that providing for the common defense? It's not. How can we defend against this? I mean, you don't think for a second that the Taliban doesn't know that they can come across here? Of course they do. Al-Qaeda, all these jihads, they know they can do it. They can, hey, look, you can find a way to get into Mexico, boom, you can cross the border, no problem. They come in from Canada. They come in from anywhere. We're not allowed to secure our border. Why? I don't know. I can't figure this out unless this president is damned and determined to destroy this country. What he did with Fast and Furious, what he did with Benghazi, what he did with the IRS, what he's done with the NSA, what he's done with the stimulus packages, what he did with Obamacare, what he did with this prison swap. What this man has done ever since he's been in office. But now you can't even make fun of Islam. You can't criticize the Prophet Muhammad. You can't criticize Islam. You can't criticize these Talibans. These jihadis, you can't criticize them. That's hate speech, and you must be punished, and you must go to jail. You must be removed from society. Well, I'm going to criticize Islam. I'm going to criticize any religion that does things. I don't care what it is. If you are deserved of criticism, you're going to get it. Whether you're the Taliban or whether you're Hamas or whether you're a jihadi or Hillary Clinton, if you are deserved of criticism, you're going to get it. You're going to get it from me because I'm going to give it to you. And I'm not afraid to give it to you, nor am I afraid to give myself criticism because do I screw up? Yeah, all the time. All the time. I can't help but screw up something. So what? I admit it, I learn from it, and I move on. Even worse is believing the DHS knew that this was coming, but didn't have the resources or ability to cut through the bureaucratic red tape to prepare more quickly. They didn't want to prepare. So now she goes on. Now the results of this mismanagement. Mismanagement? I don't know if that's the right word. This was deliberate. So the results of this deliberate mismanagement, let's call it that way. Let's call it that. Now the results of this deliberate mismanagement are thousands of individuals living in inhumane conditions. And I've seen the pictures of those conditions, and they're not good. And again, I don't have any respect for these people coming over here, violating our laws, taking advantage of the American people, taking their money, taking their free health care, their free welfare, their free this, their free that. I don't have any respect for those people doing that. However, they are human. I'm asking for it. I'm sorry. You people coming across this border, you need to understand something. You're not being brought over here to be a citizen. You're brought over here to be a vote. You are nothing to them. You are nothing but a vote to these people. They're not your friends. Okay? They are your enemy. You want to come over to this country to get a better life? We welcome you. We open our arms. We welcome you. But you have to do it like everybody else did it. We live in a time in this world right now, but without a secure border, especially the United States, and especially after what this president has done throughout the world, nobody in this world likes the United States anymore. England's even pissed off at us, and I don't blame them. Canada, for crying out loud, they're even pissed at us. We're pissed at us. And we should be. She goes on again. The Obama administration's Band-Aid fix, well, it's not a fix. It's like taking the knife and making the wound even deeper and longer, and maybe even jab a few more wounds into it, has been to ship a good portion of these immigrants, many of whom are weak, emotionally vulnerable, sick, confused, to other sectors as far as San Diego County in California. So Texas doesn't know what the hell to do with these people, so they're putting them on buses, and they're dropping them off in the San Diego sector. So here you are, boom. Then they leave. And now Southern California has to deal with them. Well, they got enough problems with people crossing from Tijuana all over California. Now they need more? I mean, if we're going to take these people anywhere, we need to take them back. I know they're from Central America, but we got to bring them back. We can't keep them here. We can't afford them. We can't even afford the people that we have here now. And now we got to bring more in here? I'm sorry, but you immigrants, it's not fair. It's not fair to you. I know you want a better life, and you deserve a better life. If we didn't live in the times that we live in, yeah, I'd welcome. Come on. Come on in. But we don't live in those times. You got to understand that. I can't go into your country in Honduras or Guatemala or El Salvador or Mexico and be an illegal alien. I can't do that to your country. But you can come over here and do it to us? Get free medical, free this, free that? And I'm supposed to have respect for you? What do you want, dope? What's the matter with you? I'm not going to respect you for that. I'm sorry, I can't. I cannot respect that, and I will give you no respect for that. You want to come over here, I welcome you, but you're going to have to do it correctly. Follow our laws. You want to be a citizen? Well, first, you've got to respect our laws. You've got to respect our people. You've got to respect our way of life. We do not change for you. You understand how that works? We're not changing for you. I'm not about to change my life one iota for any terrorist. I don't care. I should not have to give up one right, one liberty, one freedom for one terrorist. Period. And I won't. I refuse to comply with this. I refuse to comply. When I see cops anymore, I avoid them. I go other places. I don't talk to them. I don't want to have a conversation with them. Because I know I'm going to run my mouth off, I'm going to tell the truth, and I'm going to get myself arrested. And that's a shame. That's a shame where you have to be afraid of the police. What kind of society does that say? Huh? What does that say about our society? That the citizens are afraid of the government, they're afraid of the police. They're now afraid of doctors. You can't even bring your child into a hospital anymore. You can't even bring your child into school. 11 years old, they need a frickin' condom. I mean, God, come on. That's for the parents to do, not for the teachers. Your job is to teach the 3 R's and that's it. Nobody's interested in your stupid opinions, teachers, okay? Teach them how to read. Teach them how to write. Get rid of that Common Core and teach them how to do math, real math. Not this stuff that they teach now. That's not math. I don't even know what the hell I don't even know what the hell you would call it. Who came up with that, and why would they come up with that? Well, it's done deliberately. See, again, I know. I'm a broken record on a lot of stuff. Agenda 21. They want to dumb these people down. If you're not very smart, you're not very wealthy, you don't really have a lot, do you? It's a lot easier to control you when you're dumb and when you're poor than it is when you're smart and you have money. Plan. She goes on again. Most of those released will abscond and never show up for their hearings. See, they're supposed to show up. They drop them off, and they're supposed to show up to a court hearing in 15 days. I mean, simple human nature would say, I'm not showing up for no damn court, so they can try to send me back. They're not going to do that. And ICE, they can't be going around looking all over the place for these people. So they don't return. They just, God only knows what they do. They go into crime. They go into this. They go into that. I don't know. But they shouldn't be here. If we had a secure border, we wouldn't have this problem. But we don't have a secure border. Which, again, another violation of the United States Constitution. Another reason to impeach. We got to set a precedent here. And we got to let the next president, the next administration coming up, we got to let them know that if you're going to be playing these games, well, you're going to lose your job and you're going to go to jail. You're not going to get away with it. That's what we need to set. We need to set the precedent. But right now we've got a precedent. Just do whatever you want. As long as you don't criticize Muhammad, you don't criticize Islam, you can do whatever the hell you want to do. As long as you're an illegal alien and you're on your way to vote, you don't need ID. But if you're white and you're walking down the street, you better have that ID and you better get it out quick. Don't you dare badmouth that cop. They'll tase you, hit you with the sticks, shoot you. Well, I don't trust the police anymore. I'd love to. I want to go back to trusting the police, but I can't. Let me tell you something, cops. I didn't run away from you. You pushed me away from you. You pushed me away. I didn't run away from you. You pushed me away. I don't trust you. I do not trust the police anymore at all. And it's sad because simple numbers game. Are there good cops out there? Yeah. There has to be. But where are they? We don't get a chance to see them anymore. It's systemic. It starts from the top, and it, you know, again, trickle-down tyranny. Starts at the top, keeps trickling all the way down to the bottom. These cops are now trained to shoot first and ask questions later. Actually, they don't even ask questions. Just shoot. Somebody says something to you don't like, shoot them. Somebody doesn't whip their ID out quick enough, shoot them. Throw them in jail. We don't have enough people in jail. They got people spending life in prison for marijuana. I mean, what the hell is that? Marijuana? Come on. Look, I really don't care if you do drugs or not. I really don't care. I don't think the government should even really be worried about it. I know it's a problem. But look, intoxicants have been on planet Earth. Human beings have been using intoxicants forever, and they're going to continue to use them. Alcohol. You want to ban any drug. There's the drug that you want to ban. That's a dirty drug there. That's man-made. Cocaine is man-made. Marijuana's not. Comes straight from the earth. You should not have to spend the rest of your life in jail for pot. Central Americans now say that the reports in their countries are encouraging them to make the journey north to the United States, putting it on their televisions, the news. Go to America with your child. You won't be turned away, quote, unquote. And that's exactly what they do. Got mama, got a couple of kids, just cross the border. You won't be turned away. We got to secure that border. Bottom line. I know you're human. I don't really want to see you, you know, thrown in jail and tortured and shot and beat up and hit and be treated that way. I don't think you deserve to be treated that way. You want to come over to the United States because you want a better life. But the problem is you're ruining our life to do it. And we can't have that. That's not fair. That's not fair to us. You want to be part of our society? Well, you've got to respect our laws. That's all I'm asking. You want to be part of our society? I welcome you. But you got to follow our laws. You got to respect our laws, respect our people. And our way of life. We do not change our way of life for you. They come over here, they're illegal. They expect us to change our way of life for them? Wrong. Oregon School District to offer condoms to students starting in the sixth grade. The Portland, Oregon, which I grew up right across the river from Portland, Oregon. I could see Oregon from my house. I grew up in Vancouver, Washington, just right across the Columbia River. Portland is a messed up. It's a beautiful city. It is. Oregon is a beautiful state. So is Washington. So is just about every state. Even Ohio, I'm sure you could probably find some place that looks nice. Every place I went to in Ohio was a pit. But I'm sure you can find nice areas in Ohio. But the people in Oregon, they're whacked out. They're crazy. They're beyond crazy. They're nuts. An Oregon school district plans to offer condoms to students starting in the sixth grade as a part of an updated sex education policy aimed at decreasing teen pregnancy. Well, again, this is the parents' job, not the teacher's job. It's not the teacher's responsibility. It's not the school's responsibility. It's not the government's responsibility. It's not the doctor's responsibility. It's the parent's responsibility. When is a parent going to be able to be a parent? And then if you are a parent, well, then you get thrown in jail. Well, why? Well, because you disciplined your child. Teach them. You can't do that. Your child has rights. You don't. The plan by the Rural Gervais School District comes after a 2013 survey by nursing students found that a survey by nursing students found that 7% of district high school girls had experienced pregnancy. See what that is? Had experienced pregnancy. That means they had an abortion. And 42% of students reported never or sometimes using protection. Okay, fine. I understand there's a lot of diseases out there, and sometimes condoms can stop it, and sometimes they can't. But parents need to start acting like parents and teaching them kids about sex. Look, if you're going to have it, you got to be responsible. These are the things that are going to happen if you have sex. This is what's going to happen. This is what happens during and after. This is what happens. That's the parent's job. And if the parent doesn't want to take that responsibility, and it is a responsibility, if they don't want to take that responsibility, then they shouldn't have their kids. But the government should not take the parenting away from the parent. I'm not a parent, but I know for a fact growing up as a kid, I wouldn't be taking this stuff from teachers and government and this. I'd have to go from my mom. Parents are the ones responsible for their children, not the government. But see, the government doesn't see it that way. If the government is going to get its total control over the American people, well, they've got to start with the young'uns. Okay, and they don't want them getting pregnant. And if they do, they want to get them abortion. They don't want any more people in the United States unless you're an illegal alien. That's the parent's job, not the school. And why would you have, I mean, how did they do it? I mean, did they hand it out in the morning or hand it out on the way home at the bus? I mean, they got a teacher standing up there for every kid getting on the bus. Here's your condom, here's your condom, here's your condom, here's your condom. I mean, huh? Where did these people, this is another thing. These liberals, they never think of the consequences of any decision that they make. They just make decisions just to make them. They're arbitrary. They're baseless. There's no purpose for it. There's no meaning behind it. They just make a decision. Oh, it's going to work. Oh, it's got to work. Why is it got to work? Well, because we said it did. Obviously, somebody's got a hell of a deal with the condom companies. You want to get down to the truth of it. There's a money deal somewhere with a condom company. Somebody made a deal with somebody. Obviously, Trojan made a deal with the school district there in Portland. And that's what this is all about. And these are the same people that want to go ahead and protest Wall Street? Oh. I swear to God. All right, do we got anything else? Oh, here's another one. If this one wasn't bad enough, now listen to this. A school awards ceremony featured swearing and sex toys. High school. The drama teacher. Bellingham, Washington. I know where Bellingham, Washington is. My uncle is the head of the anthropology department in Bellingham. Western Washington University. Central. My other cousin went to Central. But in Bellingham, Washington, pretty close to the border of Canada, married an Indian woman from the Lummi tribe. And he's still up there. I guess he's a dean. He's a big, he's a head honcho there at the university. I haven't been to Bellingham in a coon's age. But a Bellingham High School drama teacher has issued a formal apology after her award ceremony developed into an evening of profanity and jokes about a priest having sex with kids and a box of sex toys. A parent attended the ceremony in the school auditorium with her 17-year-old daughter. She was nominated for an award. Both want to remain anonymous until after graduation on June 6th. Now, here's another thing. I'm sick and tired of having to live a society where we have to remain anonymous. We can't say anything. Well, why? Well, because we're going to get in trouble. In trouble for what? Freedom of speech? Criticizing a teacher for doing the things that, well, if I could ever shut up, we'll get to it, and what she did. But why do we got to remain anonymous all the time? Oh, I can't say that. No. Don't quote me on that. I got to remain anonymous. Well, then why are you giving the quote if you got to remain anonymous? What's the point? Why do we have to remain anonymous? I don't like that. If we have to be in this much fear to speak freely, then it's not freedom of speech, which means we've got a problem, which means we need to get it fixed. And I'm sick and tired of this remaining anonymous crap. We should never have to remain anonymous. But they want to remain anonymous until after graduation. I mean, obviously she's afraid that they're gonna attack her daughter and not let her graduate. And that's what she's trying to avoid. I mean, yeah, I guess it's a smart thing to do in today's society. But the problem is today's society, you have to do that. That's the problem. This woman should not have to remain anonymous. But the teacher, her name is Terry Grimes. I'm sure she is grimy. A veteran of three decades who was slated to retire after this year. Well, she should have been fired, and she should have lost her pension. But now she's able to retire. Isn't that nice? You can go out and commit a whole bunch of crimes and do a whole bunch of this, do a whole bunch of that, and the only thing you got to do is just resign. And you don't have to face a committee hearing. You don't have to go to jail. You don't have to do nothing. Just resign. And you get your pension and, you know, you're just a little cozy little health care. You got a nice little home. Get a nice little severance package. You can go out and buy a new boat. The mother said, "I sat there with my mouth open in shock." This is at the award ceremony. "I sat there with my mouth open in shock, and the final straw was when a joke was told on stage about a teacher and a lawyer and a priest on a plane." Well, the joke is kind of lame. I don't know why she'd be telling a joke like this at an award ceremony, but this is a joke. "The plane was going down, and the teacher says, 'We have to save the children.' The attorney says, 'F the children.' And the priest says, 'Oh, do we have time for that?'" Ba-dum-bump. Yeah. First of all, it's not very funny. It's not very clever. It's old. Not a joke you need to be telling at an award ceremony. And she used the actual F word. She said the whole thing. Why would you do that in front of the parents at a school? I don't know. I mean, I cuss a lot, but even I got, I got enough intelligence in me. No, to not tell a goddamn joke like that. In addition, now here's another part here. I know we only got a couple minutes left, but that's all right. I got to get this out. In addition to what she considered to be offensive language and the off-color joke, the parents said the awards handed out during the ceremony weren't appropriate for children. She said one of the categories was the horniest stud, where the award was a sex toy. I wonder what that sex toy was. Was it a dildo? And what would a horny stud do with a dildo? If he's horny, he doesn't need a dildo for her, unless he needs one for him. What the hell was this woman thinking? Well, she gave a big, huge apology. "I deeply apologize for some very inappropriate comments and actions made during our drama students' end-of-the-year awards ceremony. It's not a representative of our students who take such great pride in their school and respect for one another," blah, 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 blah. Much of the evening was a great celebration of their work. However, as a teacher and the club's leader, I take full responsibility and am extremely sorry. Oh, well, that makes... Okay, I get... okay, fine, I forgive you. No, you're not taking responsibility. You just wrote down an apology. That's not taking responsibility. Taking responsibility would be, well, first of all, the principal should have taken responsibility. But you can't fire a teacher because they got a union. You can rape your students and you can't get fired. I mean, give me a union like that. Wouldn't that be nice? You can do whatever the hell you want. You don't have to worry about losing your job. And if you do, well, you go into a rubber room, especially if you're in New York. They still have over 50,000 teachers in New York that are on the payroll. Full pay, full benefits. They're incompetent enough to not be allowed inside of the classroom. And they still get paid. We just got 90-second cue that just came in here. So I want to thank everybody for listening here tonight. Everybody in the chat room, everybody who's on their smartphones, and everybody who's going to download later. Hopefully it came through tonight. I don't know. Maybe nobody can hear me. I don't know. But we will see you back here tomorrow night at 8. Goodbye, everybody.